RandomChatter.com presents
Oliver Queen,
an Arrow podcast.
Now I will fulfill my father's dying wish.
Dedicated to the discussion of the Arrow television series.
Bring down those who are poisoning my city. To do this, I must become someone else. I must become
Green Justice. Welcome back, everybody, to Green Justice, an Arrow podcast. I'm your host, Jay.
And I'm Josh.
And you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show Arrow, with discussion and commentary on all the various episodes. This week, we have the season finale for season three. We will be covering everything that happened there, everyone's deaths, resuscitations, and other strange happenings in Starling City this week.
Stranger than deaths and resuscitations.
Yeah, there was some strange stuff going on. I thought, like, alcoholism just popped up for about 2 minutes, and then they put it away. So, sure, we'll get into some of that stuff. But why don't you tell us what the season finale for season three was here, Josh?
Season three is officially closed.
Single tier.
We are finished. I do not feel like you and I have been doing this for 3 years, three seasons of Arrow, and yet here's the third finale that we're getting ready to talk about.
Phew.
Episode 23 from season three, the finale, My Name is Oliver Queen, which aired on May 13th, 2015. It was written by Greg Berlanti and Andrew Kreisberg. Of course, the big finale teleplay was by Mark Guggenheim, Jake Coburn. They're bringing out the big guns for the finale, right?
Yep,
directed by John Baring. All right, well, his name is Oliver Queen. For weeks, he's been pursued by Ra's al Ghul to become the new boss. More aggressively than the college football recruiter, I think. But despite what Ra's and, well, frankly, the rest of the team have thought, he's been lying, of course, and working with Malcolm Merlyn to stop Ra's from destroying Starling City with the Alpha Omega virus. Of course he was. He's the good guy, everybody.
I should have seen this coming.
Since, geez, yes. What were we thinking? Okay, well, anyway. You know, he's going to try to stop Ra's, of course. He's the hero. But, you know, if it was going to be that easy, it wouldn't be the season finale. So, okay, sure. So he gets some help. Diggle, Felicity, Ray, Tatsu, Malcolm, Nyssa, Oliver, and a newly attired Thea track down Kamikaze League assassins before they spread death to the citizens of Starling City. Wrong finale. Starling City. Hey, you know what? He saves the citizens of Central City, too, don't
he? He did do that the night before.
Yeah, he did.
Busy week for Oliver.
Yeah. He's got his schedule's full this week. That's why he's ready for a vacation, see? But once Oliver stops him, which, of course, he does, what does the future hold for our millionaire archer?
Yeah, he's retiring. I'm pretty sure Stephen Amell said he's not coming back next year. He's done.
He's done, yeah. He wants to dedicate more of his time to make wine and T-shirts.
That sounds like a good plan. I mean, you know, he totally said the same thing during the winter hiatus as well. So,
yeah, he's done.
Yeah, no reason why we shouldn't think that he's not telling the truth again. So,
apart from the fact that he's main character of the title character of the show, right? But
it's just called Arrow. There are a lot of arrows, right? There's Red Arrow, aka Speedy, and
maybe it's more of the common noun word arrow and not the proper noun.
Oh, they're
just talking about the props on the show, right?
Yeah, all the ones that are being collected.
Well, we're gonna get to all that, of course. So,
yeah. All right. So, in news this week, there was another DC related comic book series that you may or may not have heard of. It was over on NBC. It was called Constantine. Unfortunately, it was canceled. They did 13 episodes and then they got canceled. They got a long wait. They made everybody wait like 2 or 3 months before deciding if they were canceled. Well, there have been a lot of fans tweeting the hashtag Save Constantine. And both Stephen Amell and Mark Guggenheim have jumped on the Save Constantine bandwagon because they feel a kinship to it, being it's another DC Comics series. Stephen said he was actually in talks with DC to make a cameo on Constantine if it were able to come back. And Mark Guggenheim said he is not discounting the fact of maybe getting Constantine to be on the show. Now, Constantine is a Supernatural series, but obviously Arrow has really widened their territory that they explore now in their DC universe. So who knows? Anything's possible. So there may be some other crossovers in our future for us.
Well, that would be good, especially – I know that there were a lot of fans of Constantine. They're really disappointed in the announcement that it was being canceled.
I don't know that I'm disappointed. It had a slow 5 or 6 episode start. But then, of course, when they started getting into sort of the basis for Constantine and have more of a story that they were working towards for the first season – It got really good, and the actor that played Constantine looks and sounds like how I imagine Constantine to be from reading the comic books. So he's just a wise-ass Brit and, you know, just did a really good job. So anyway, maybe seeing that as part of some upcoming crossovers. Speaking of crossovers, though, if you listen to our Scarlet Velocity podcast, you may have heard about this already. And actually, if you're on the internet, you may have heard about this already. But the DC's Legends of Tomorrow did put out a preview video. It was part of the upfronts that CW put out on Thursday about all their upcoming shows. It will be coming in 2016. It will be 13 episodes, and it will be a mid-season show. Mid-season show. That sounds like something we may be able to cover here on the podcast network.
Well, yeah, heck. I mean, if it's on a break when you and I are just, you know, sitting back waiting for our shows to start.
We were on a break!
Yeah. There's no reason we can't talk about that, right?
No, I don't think so. Keep your ears tuned to our feeds here. We may have a special another podcast next season. We'll have to see what's going on. And continuing the theme of crossovers, how did you guys like the Arrow Flash crossovers this last winter? Well, if you did, so did CW President Mark Pedowitz, and he confirmed that will actually be an annual tradition as long as both shows are still on the air. Actually, maybe even if only one of the shows is on the air, I would guess they would be doing that. So as opposed to all the other little crossovers, like having Barry on the show this week, this would be shows where the full cast from one series goes to the other series and vice versa. So kind of like our Arrow versus Flash and Brave and the Bold, kind of two-parter. Even though the storylines didn't really cross over or connect as much as you and I wanted them to, maybe they'll step it up a little bit next year.
Yeah. If they're going to continue to do this, let's do one of those things where it's a kind of a two-parter, you know? I mean, I've said for several months now that I'm really feeling like these shows are feeling much more like comic books. You know, just the whole idea of comic books and the crossovers and how they're presenting them to us, and a crossover where the two stories connect. That's very comic book. That's how they used to, you know, they probably still do sell other comic book titles, you know, by connecting the stories. So, hey, it's a good way to sell TV shows too.
And especially with the previously on segment of the show, I mean, they can switch that up and show previously on, you know, Arrow, but then also, you know, yesterday on Flash, we saw this, you know, kind of thing. So I think that would totally work. And just when you thought Stephen Amell was the only one making cool charity T-shirts from the team, Katie Cassidy came out with a Represent Red Nose Day charity tee. And for $22.99, you have a little over, well, just a little under 4 days as we record this. So about 3 days once you start listening to this episode, to get your exclusive Red Nose Day charity tee with Katie Cassidy and her big red nose. Red Nose Day is a campaign dedicated to raising money for children and young people living in poverty by simply having fun and making people laugh. And they will do worldwide shipping on that. So check it out at represent.com/Katie Cassidy.
Yeah, it's a cute little shirt. It's a picture of Katie Cassidy with a red nose.
You know, just the she didn't want Steven to have all the reindeer game fun, I guess, or something. I don't know. Sorry, I'm trying to work in a Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer joke there, and it's kind of falling flat because it is almost summer, so that would probably be why. All right, so you want to get into what we liked, what we didn't like about the season finale, and maybe what? Why is that funny?
I don't know.
Okay. You just made it sound like it was the funniest thing that I've said in a long time here. So
I don't know why it was funny. I'm laughing. I'm excited. I'm ready to talk.
Okay. I mean, it's not. I don't think it's like we really hate it. I think we have. I'm going to say I know I had some problems with the episode, especially as a season finale. Just overall, I felt that it tied things up a little too neatly. It didn't offer too many surprises or surprises of any consequence. The surprises that were in the episode were, you know, okay, oh, well, great. But, you know, surprises but not surprises, I guess. And it did help tie up a little bit better the season. And I am not as excited about the end of this season as I have been on previous years. I was often looking forward very heartily to the next season of Arrow. And at this point, I'm just like, all right, well, you know, we'll see it when it comes on. I'm not chomping at the bit. But, you know, as we start getting stuff during the summer and showing, and they start showing clips and stuff from what they're working on for next season, I'm sure I will get more excited. But so far, out of the three season finales that I watch for the shows that we podcast on, this is number two, and the third show hasn't yet to have a season finale yet. So I'm thinking this probably will come in number three.
I can't disagree with any of the things that you said, and but also I think there were a lot of really good things in this episode too. But yeah, I can't disagree with any of that. I think you're right, and we'll get into that. And maybe some of it didn't bother me as much as it did you, but. Toward the end, there were a couple things that I was like, yeah, come on. Give us a little bit more to anticipate over the summer. You know, give us a little bit more of,
true.
Wait, what's going to happen next? You know, and I didn't really get a sense of that at all. So
Right. It didn't leave me on a high note. It kind of brought me back up to the middle because they had been living in the lower levels of my, you know, if you're looking at a graph, they were in the negatives. And they brought me back to zero instead of leaving me on a positive number. And I think they had really, if we look back at the season, which we might end up doing that as one of our summer shows, I think we might want to just kind of revisit like what worked, what didn't work about this season. But I feel like I was really high in the positive numbers at different points during the season. And it may have just been like the last five or six episodes that have kind of dropped my expectations for the show because I felt, I don't know if it was pandering or they just, you know, I just couldn't believe a lot of the stuff that was going on. I've talked about my suspension of disbelief was getting, you know, pushed to its limit and stuff like that. But let's get into some specifics. Okay. So the season for Oliver, it's really been his journey of identity. This is something we've been talking about since probably episode two or three of the season, if not earlier. So he had to be more than just Oliver Queen, he decided. And of course, so he was going to try to stop Sarah's murder. But he couldn't be the Arrow to do this because Lance finds out about his identity and kind of brings the whole his whole world crashing down around him. And then he couldn't even be Oliver anymore. He ended up having to become Al-Saheem to join forces with the League of Assassins or to just join the League of Assassins. And in the end, he actually ended up deciding that death was his best alternative in order to A, stop the bad guys and, you know, do what was necessary to save his city. And I just wanted to ask you about the decisions that he made in coming to this conclusion. He seemed to have found the niche with his team earlier in the season, and they started clicking. And you know, he didn't want to bring Roy in originally. But then they started working okay with him. He didn't want to bring Laurel in, and he started working with him.
Now, if you think back to the first episode of this season, as a matter of fact, the first scene of the first episode of this season, they are working completely together as a team. I mean, it's working like a well-oiled machine. Remember, they're running along, they're stopping bad guys, they're doing a fantastic job. That's how that season started.
Right.
And throughout the season, I think we saw them kind of slowly get dismantled. I should say dismantled in the way it was working really well with Oliver as the hub, I guess. And then he kind of got removed from that, and the team had to find their strengths again without him. And I think that's kind of where it ended.
They kind of lost a wheel, and then they had to learn how to function as a different type of vehicle, to keep this weird metaphor going.
A tricycle.
like a tricycle, right. But, you know, they had other people coming in to help them out. But what do you think about Oliver? He knows he's got this team to work with. So why does he, A, not talk to anybody about it, and B, decide that in order to achieve his goal, which is really everybody else's goal as well, right? Protecting Starling City. They have taken up that mantle, as he admits. He's admitted at other points in the series. I think when he came back from death after he got stabbed in mid-season, he points that out here. But why death? Like, why did he think that he had to sacrifice everything there?
Well, I mean, to me, it feels like as he was on the plane, you know, that's a very vulnerable place to be, at least it seemed like it, for Ra's al Ghul. And I don't think he believed at that point that he could defeat Ra's al Ghul himself. So, you know, sabotage it in a big way where, you know, find him at a vulnerable point up, you know, thousands of feet up in the air, sabotage the plane where there's really no hope of escape, supposedly. And, you know, in the process, he'll have to take himself out because he'll have to be there with him. So I don't know that he was like, well, gosh, you know, I'm not doing a very good job. I guess I'll just sacrifice the whole thing and die and stuff. I think he just saw that as his own only opportunity. And in the process, he was going to die with Ra's al Ghul, kind of to assure that Ra's al Ghul was going to die, you know? So he was there at the moment, so he couldn't escape. Unfortunately,
right.
He was even too good for that.
Yeah. I just don't understand why Oliver just kind of threw this team concept out the window so much. So he comes back and he apologizes to Felicity and Diggle after they give him what for. And, you know, she's like, you never even planned to come back to talk to us. And he's like, yeah, but it gives me the chance to say I'm sorry, which is like not really good enough. And then Felicity comes in, brings him coffee, you know, because she said it seems like the right thing to do, which to me, it also didn't seem like she really stayed mad at him. I mean, she's been on, her character's gone through an emotional roller coaster with him. And obviously he's just that good looking, I guess, or maybe he was really good in the non-departbat way.
Now, this is love, you know, this is, you know, think of,
they're going to be sitting in a bar somewhere. And he's like, yeah, you remember that time in non-departbat? It's like, yeah, never can reach those heights again.
But think of how this connection that she has to him. I mean, he has literally saved her life several times. He, you know, they have saved the city and saved countless people. And that, you know, brings you very close to somebody. It's not just those killer abs, although that helps, I think. But
we haven't seen those for a while.
Yeah, we haven't. What's up with that? You know why? I bet you he's starting to look more like me. He's a little embarrassed to show him. See, but I still say if he and I take a picture shirtless together, he'll look better standing by me.
I hear you. Yeah. Well, it's yeah. I know.
And
it's,
here, I want to make something clear before we continue, because I'm not trying to be an apologist for anything that happened in this episode or you know, because I know there were some things in there I didn't think worked as well either, but. When I watch a show, that I like, you know, or a movie or something like that. I try to make it work for my mind because I'm enjoying certain parts of it. And so the parts that maybe take me out of that or something, what I kind of subconsciously try to do is make those parts fit or try to explain them. So, you know, a lot of the stuff I say may not be valid or may not be a logical conclusion to it. It was just kind of where my mind went to those things. So to me, I can totally see Felicity staying with him as opposed to Ray. You know, I mean, she loved him before she loved Ray, although Ray's pretty cool. I think I'd go with Ray, but I still would too. So Brandon Ralph, you know, he's listening, but so that's just one thing as far as Felicity goes.
Sure. Well, to that point, and I can't remember if I've mentioned this on Green Justice or not, or whether it was one of our other podcasts, but basically, you know, I've talked about the kind of what fans seem to do online is criticize a genre property, whether it's a comic book film or sci-fi film or, you know, whatever it is. And they criticize it for what they wanted to see, not what was presented on the screen. It's like, well, I wouldn't have done it that way. It's like, well, too bad, because that's the movie that or the TV show that you saw. And I'm finding myself in that position here, and I have to keep reminding myself that what I wanted to see doesn't really matter, right? It's what they presented to me on the episode. So I'm trying to be mindful of that.
Oh, yeah. But in your defense, too, as you were watching, there were things that made you say, you know, not enjoy the episode as much as another episode, you know? So I agree with you. I think, you know, being mindful of that is important. But and again, not trying to be an apologist for anybody. Just want to make it real clear. I am not one of those people that will see something and think of it the first time and stand by it no matter what anybody says to me and argue with them. And by the time this is over, you and I could have totally swapped opinions of this episode and I could be like, oh, you're right. That was horrible.
All right. Well, I will be working towards that. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. but so what I want to say, so Oliver is, you know, he had previously decided, all right, the only way to do this is to save Starling City and to stop Ra's al Ghul is for me to take him out and sacrifice myself. And then Felicity comes into him and says, you know, Oliver Queen couldn't stop Ra's al Ghul. The Arrow couldn't stop Ra's al Ghul. And I'm like, good. All right. So she's going to talk some sense into him here and say, but you know what you need? You need a team. But instead of saying anything remotely like that, she's like, you've become something else, something different. And I'm like, oh, she's quoting the opening monologue now. And, you know, points out to him that, you know, he has changed as a person. He is he's a third entity now, which has been yet unnamed. And his heart has changed. So that's what gives him the strength to kill Ra's al Ghul. Okay. I see that. I still don't understand why it had to be just him. Like, why can't, like, three superheroes go take on Ra's al Ghul? It's like, it's honor be damned at this point. If the League of Assassins is trying to destroy your city, you get Barry there, you get the Atom there, you get Speedy there, you get everybody
Firestorm.
You can get.
Don't forget Firestorm.
A Firestorm, right?
Hey,
you get Wildcat to come back.
Frankly, Barry might be enough. Did you see how fast he took out those assassins there in the temple?
Shoot, I think Felicity was taking out some of those assassins in the previous week's episode. So some of them are just, you know, they're real noobs.
Well, no wonder he went off campus to find a new Ra's al Ghul. He's like, oh, are you kidding me? You guys stink.
So anyway, I just felt that there was an opportunity there to kind of go back to something that I thought that I enjoyed and I thought was working for the series. And they went another direction with it, which I can understand, right? It's, as we said earlier, the show is about the Arrow. It's about Oliver Queen. It's his character's show. So he needs to be the one that, you know, takes care of this. If it was a team show, it would be called Arrow and Friends or something.
Oh, please,
so.
No.
I don't know. So
no, but now, so do you? I'm guessing you have the same idea of where they're trying to take this third entity, as you said, this new Oliver, this new, you know, character, which is what is it you're thinking? I mean, where are they headed?
Into the sunset. So
right, okay.
Well,
but he's not going to be Arrow. He's not going to be Oliver Queen. He's got to be some sort of something else.
So I've got a couple ideas, and my first kind of jokey response is they totally moonlighting to the end of this, where they drive off into the sunset. Right? I mean, the Oliver got what he wanted and stopped Ra's al Ghul from taking out Starling City. Felicity got what she wanted, and the two of them hooked up, and he feels, what did he say? He feels happy. That's
happy.
A death kiss. That's a death kiss for, or kiss of death for characters when they say they're happy. So thinking about it a little more, I have two conclusions. One, it could be they're pushing him towards being Green Arrow.
There you go.
Right.
Yep.
So, good. I'm glad we're on the same page there. So.
Exactly. That's exactly what my thought was. Yes.
So he goes away for a little while. He can grow a sweet goatee. He lightens up a little bit. Becomes very, very left wing, and comes back, but realizes that it's not just about saving Starling City. He realizes a more global aspect to himself, because he's been, I feel he got an awakening, and there's a bigger world out there than just Starling City, right? Because last three seasons have been about saving Starling City. The other thing I was thinking about was kind of like they did last season, right? That we left the end of season two. Lance had just had a heart attack. We weren't sure if he was going to survive. we had Sarah going away on the freighter, and they come back for season three. And like you said, Oliver and Roy and Felicity and Diggle are all working together. They're really well oiled. Canary is working with them as well. And it had been, whatever, 6 months, 5 months since we saw them last. So a lot of things happened. Lance became captain. He recovered. He, you know, everything was cool. So we may not, you know, we may just get a lot of stuff off screen. Oliver goes away. He has a nice 5 month vacation, and we see him come back next season, and he's like, well, you know, I'm back. We had a good time being away, but I'm ready to actually, you know, put a hood back on or put a mask back on and go to work in some fashion while everybody else has been taking care of stuff.
They got like broken arms and bruises and scars. And he's like, hey, you guys ready to go?
Yeah. I don't know. So
I don't know exactly where they're going to come back with this. My guess would be that, something will happen that will prompt him to have to come back. But is it wrong for me,
Oliver? It's your mother. She's not really dead,
but she's about to die. Is it wrong for me, as you know, to not want this character to be happy? He like is driving off there. He's all smiling, and all I could think of is like, oh no way, no! I want him to be miserable. Come on, something needs to go wrong. And I felt kind of bad about that, but.
It was the happy Blade Runner ending, where they kind of drive off in the car and you don't really realize that Rick Deckard's a replicant. I kind of felt that way as well. I want the character to be happy enough because I want him to enjoy what he's doing, but he needs to strike that balance. He's the hero that we want for the city, and he has to want to be that hero as well, and. He got really messed up the last half of this season. I mean, really seriously, he's been through an emotional ringer. I mean, having to make sure that he doesn't really get brainwashed and everything like that. So I don't know. I agree with you though. I don't think I really want to see him happy, because that would not be the best series.
No, I mean, if you think like going back to Flash, right? You know, is Barry happy? Because that's a much more lighthearted show.
True.
And I would say that you know, Barry's happy, but he still has that emotional sense of not solitude, but just desperation because he's trying to save his dad, you know?
Right.
And keep his
he's positive. He has a positive outlook, but he's still got issues that he's trying to deal with.
Right.
Death of his mother, freeing his dad, saving his friends. But for the most part, you know, things are cool. He has a good time.
Yeah, so. Exactly. So that's a little bit more positive. But for Oliver, you know, it's cool. Wherever they're taking it, it's good. I kind of agree with you. The end of it was just a little bit too clean. It felt like a series finale as opposed to a season finale. Yeah. Where, hey, look, everything's good, and Starling City will be safe because they've got people, and Oliver's done, and he's good. So,
Interesting aspect. I've never seen a season finale that takes a series finale aspect to it.
Not when they're for sure coming back the next season.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. There's, you know, if it was a question of, well, are they going to get renewed? I could see this would be a great place. And then it's like, oh, if they get renewed, great. If they don't, but we already know they're renewed. Yeah. So, all right. Well, let me talk about something else here. And this is something else that I know I personally have been very critical about for the past, season. and that's the flashbacks. And I was just like, man, when they started the flashbacks on this episode, I'm like, these are so unnecessary, especially this week. I mean, the big emotional payoff was last week when Akio died. And we already knew that was coming from at least the week, if not 2 weeks before that. But then we got into some actually interesting stuff, I thought, with the flashbacks where Oliver beats the crap out of General Shreve. And he takes him right up to that point where he has beat this guy and tortured him for hours, you know, because Oliver believed that's what Amanda Waller put him there to do. Like she said, I was good at this, so I must be good at this. But he doesn't kill him. It's Maceo that comes in to make that choice, which, okay, first let's just talk about that. What's your take on that? Because I was just like, oh, okay, so they've taken this guy and they beat him up, and it's like, really? You should put the guy out of his misery, but I thought it was going to be something they were going to push Oliver to do. But to have Maceo do it, I mean, that I think that just continued his descent of the character, which, of course, loops back to the beginning of this season where we see him. So, I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, so... Now, remember, this is 2 years before Oliver comes back to Starling City.
Right.
Which,
yeah, it's 5 years ago as far as we're concerned.
Yeah. Now Oliver needs to stop shaving, like, right now in order to get that gigantic beard and hair that we see.
Really? You think for it would take him 2 years to get that beard?
Yeah, you don't maybe. Think so? I don't know. I've never really grown a beard that long, so I don't know.
If he ends up going to Russia and drinking vodka and hanging out in a gulag at some point when he's hanging out with Anatoly, that would help. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
but anyway, so he is getting darker and more serious and brooding because when he comes back to Starling City, you know that that's how he's going to be. Right. So he's only 2 years from that. So he's got to get, and he hasn't really done anything quite like he did to General Shreve so far in the flashbacks that we've seen. He has tortured people, you know.
Well, he came back to Starling City and killed that drug dealer that was bothering Thea.
Right. But he just killed him outright. He didn't, you know, torture him for hours. And sit there and hold a bloody hammer in his hand. I'm like, oh, wow. I wonder what he did with that hammer. So I think it was like you said, it was much more interesting because of the way they have taken the flashback character in that direction, and they're making him presumably he will kind of continue on that route now in the flashbacks wherever he ends up.
What I would think would have to happen with the flashbacks, as you say, he does have to get darker to meet up with the person we saw in the series premiere back in episode one of season one. So I think as the flashbacks continue, they will continue on a downward turn where he gets darker as potentially the rest of the episodes lighten up as right. Cause right now Oliver's happy, right? So we're on a present day Oliver's on an upswing, and I think we're going to separate these characters further and further on a vertical, you know, plane of emotion from one another.
Yeah.
So, which is interesting. If they can, I think my biggest problem with the flashbacks is they seem to be spinning their wheels because there was really only one thing they needed to tell. If we look at the flashbacks, they really did not take place over that long a time.
No.
The you know, the series takes place basically a week between each episode, except for in cases of like this last episode and this one where it picks up immediately following. But, you know, the flashbacks all took place within, I don't know, maybe a couple weeks, maybe a month or something like that. I don't know. It just didn't seem like there was a long time span. And I would just like a little more interesting storyline, I guess, is probably the best thing that I could say.
I think they had a little bit, well, I shouldn't say they had a harder time, but it felt much different this time, the way they connected the flashbacks with what ultimately led up to the finale of this season, which is, now there were several connections. It wasn't just the Alpha Omega virus, because you had the connection with Maseo and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I think those connections were too disconnected and spread far apart in a short amount of time. So I think, you know, kind of more like the island flashbacks where he was being trained over that period of time, it felt like the island flashbacks were a season long in relationship to the present day season long. So
yeah.
I think they kind of need to get back towards that. But where do you think he's going from here? I mean, Russia makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But they made some references in this episode that made me think maybe that's not what's happening.
Yeah, so he was heading towards a boat that was had the name of Coast City on it, which is obviously on the coast of California, I think, in the comics. It's supposed to be like a San Francisco or a Los Angeles analog, and it's where Green Lantern comes from and Ferris Air and all that. So, honestly, I don't really know what the next thing is. It sounds like he may just wander around aimless, like Kane from Kung Fu, you know. And at some point, we know that he does have to team up with Anatoly again. So, you know, maybe he does fall in with, like, the Russian mob. Or, you know, maybe he becomes a torturer for the mob or something like that. We do know that he has to get some other tattoos and all that. But he also does have to go back to the island. And I think he probably won't go back to the island until the fifth season flashbacks, just because I would think he's going to spend the next season on this spiral, this downward spiral, just becoming a horrible, horrible kind of person and realize that this is not, he's just not safe being in society. So he may be going back to the island as kind of a spiritual center to cleanse himself or something like that. So I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. They did mention, Tatsu mentioned, or maybe Maseo mentioned, that he was a monster without a soul, you know, and that he had to go away. Horrible, horrible thing to do, too. Your wife's telling you that, you know, she really, you know, the worst thing for you to do would be to leave now when your wife needs you the most. And he's like, but every time I look into your eyes, I see my dead son. I have to go. I'm like, shut the hell up, man.
Yeah. You know what? Come here, Maseo. You're a big wussy. I just wanted to smack him.
So do you think that means Oliver is also a monster without a soul? Because I think Maseo has gone just a little bit further than Ollie, but I think they're analogous in where they ended up here at the end of the season. Do you agree with that?
I think Maseo thinks he's gone further than Oliver. I think Oliver is there, but neither one of them, I don't think we're in a place where they couldn't return from it. I think Oliver did return from it, and I think Maseo just kept telling himself he couldn't. And he really did kind of give up on his life. Maseo did, I mean.
Okay.
But I Oliver, on the other hand, I think he's darker than Maseo. I mean, the stuff he was doing to General Shreve was horrible, and even Maseo knew it, and he came in and kind of put him out of his misery, I think.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say either that or he was just taken out as revenge by just killing him right there.
But still, that's more of a Yeah, that's more of a release. I mean, even in the, you know, we talked about some of the torture scenes before. I mean, torture is probably way worse than just outright killing somebody. I mean, and it getting information is one thing, but there's also, you know, the aspect that people may take pleasure in delivering that kind of torture and stuff like that. So, I don't know. There's some interesting things that can happen with this, and I would say that probably one of my favorite parts of the finale here was the second half of the flashbacks, as we got a little more into that. Okay. My kids actually thought that the arrow actually went into Shreve's crotch, and I said, no, I think it was the thigh, but it was pretty close there. That's not going to feel great.
That was an arrow to the knee, I think is what that was, but intentionally. yeah, I thought he was aiming there, though. Yeah, Oliver's in a weird place in the flashbacks, which I think he needs to get in even weirder and darker. But he'll come back. He'll come back out of it. Never too many kids.
Speaking of dark places, there was an interesting thing that was brought up by Ra's al Ghul at the beginning of the film or of the episode when Oliver wakes up on the transport plane and. Ra's asks him, you know, hey, what were you dreaming about? Because, you know, there's only three types of dreams. So I think you maybe had a little something you wanted to extrapolate on this.
Well, Ra's al Ghul said that there were three types of dreams, truth, desire, and temptation. So I started thinking about what those might mean, you know, I mean, and they didn't show us what Oliver was dreaming, but I seriously doubt he was really dreaming what he told him he was dreaming. Oh, I was dreaming of us becoming the next Ra's al Ghul. Yeah. That's I mean, he didn't even sound like he was telling the truth then, but,
yeah.
So I started wondering what he was dreaming, you know, and he talks a little bit, was it with Felicity about his dreams?
Yeah.
Is that who he was telling? So truth, if truth was his dream, could he have been dreaming? Well, you know, he's betraying Ra's al Ghul. He is the hero. He is going to try to do whatever he thinks is right. He does love Felicity. You know, that's I guess truth and desire. He desires to be with Felicity. He desires to be something bigger than what he is. Even though he's huge, he desires to be something bigger and better. He never thinks he's good enough, and he never really has. As long as he's been back, he's never thought he was good enough to save the city, really.
He just needs to check the ratings. I mean, he's doing great.
He is doing great. So. Look at everything he's done. He's got some spinoffs now, and yeah, he's saving this network, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And temptation. So I started thinking what the temptation might be. And the only thing I could really come up with was the temptation to leave, to retire, to no longer be the hero that he was meant to be.
Okay.
I don't know. What do you think about that? Would you think that is a temptation?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think that this is something that has been brought up throughout the season. He would really like to find that point where he could just stop. Just, you know, I just fixed this city. Can it stay, you know, like this for 5 minutes? I think that would be a huge temptation to be able to just say, you know what, I'm not strong enough. I'm not good enough. I can't do this. And I quit.
Well, what about the temptation of actually becoming Ra's al Ghul? It doesn't seem like he ever really had that temptation. He pretended like he did.
Right.
But it doesn't feel like he ever really did. You think that played into it?
No, I don't think there really was a temptation for that.
Yeah, I don't either.
Though,
I
mean, I guess you could argue that at some point early on, you know, he maybe was tempted a little bit. The temptation might have been was that he could easily defeat Ra's al Ghul. And where I'm going back to the mid-season or the winter break, because things had been working out very well for him, other than the fact that Sarah was killed. Like you said, they were having a lot of success. And maybe the temptation was that he was just getting too cocky, and it's like, oh, I can go take care of this guy myself. And so he does, right? He kind of just goes off and doesn't listen to anybody and, you know, gets tossed off a mountain for his troubles.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't forget the sword through the chest thing too. That was
well, yeah, you know that's going to happen to you now. And
the cold helped that. That was no problem. And then I had one other horrible thought about his dreams.
Okay,
what if the driving off into the sunset with Felicity is just a big dream? They wouldn't do that, would they?
That seems
unlikely.
I was going to say that would cheapen this season even more so than it already got cheapened.
Agree. And I don't think that's what they're going to do. They've always been much more clever than that. But it was just the whole dream thing and him even saying something about dreaming going off with her. So, yeah, that was a fear I had when I started thinking about his dreams.
I can't really imagine that they do that. I would be even more disappointed if that's what it turns out to be. And
well, thank you then. You have assuaged my fears.
Okay, I'm going to tell you, Guggenheim, you're already on notice. I'm just letting you know. So, well, I think we kind of already talked about this with you know where is Oliver going, and you know, but let's say, you know, we may or may not really find out what happens during the season break here between season 3 and 4.
They're not going to show us what Oliver and Felicity are doing that whole time? You don't think so?
Well, not all the time.
Web exclusive video.
Log in now. Enter your credit card number.
But I worry about that, though. I worry about those two being together. And you referenced Moonlighting, right? Which was an old show with Bruce Willis and Cybill Shepherd, and as soon as they got together, that show just went downhill, right? It was a good show, though. I worry about those two being happy together because it makes it less interesting and makes it more rom-com-y, you know?
So do you think that they will keep them together at the beginning of the season? Like, would you... Let me ask you this. What would you prefer to see? Would you prefer to see them come back and Oliver and Felicity are now a couple and they spend some episodes together as a couple until something pushes them apart? Or would you rather have them have broken up during the hiatus and just be working friends together again at the beginning of season 4? I know these are tough questions.
That is a tough question. What would I rather see? This even surprises me, but I think kind of the latter. I think I would kind of rather not see them together on the series. And another reason that I'm thinking that, I worry that the way they will solve that or one solution to that problem of maybe getting in a rut is what would push Oliver back into being that hero again is killing Felicity. I don't want Felicity to leave. I don't want her to not be a part of the team. And I don't think that they're destined to be together. At least they're not in the comics. He's destined to be with Laurel, right? But not that has to happen on the show, but you know.
Yeah,
just,
exactly.
So I worry about if they're not going to be together, can she still be a part of the team? So she's still going to be on the show. Now, the only way I think of that working is she is, I think, owner of the company of Palmer. Is it Palmer Inc.?
Palmer Tech.
Palmer Tech. Right, right. And if, you know, she's running that and somehow connected with Oliver through that, or if, you know, that's like a strand maybe that could connect everybody with her, you know, owning that company. But
all right, so let's take a quick little trip here back to last episode where she signed some paperwork that we never really got identified. We saw the front page. We were saying on the show that we weren't sure really what she signed. We had a number of people on Twitter say, "Come on, guys, I'm disappointed in you." If you freeze the front page of the contract that he had her signed, the change of ownership, she was clearly listed. It's like, well, okay, I'm going to say not terribly clearly listed because it was, you had to freeze frame it to be able to read it. It was about as clear as the, uh, as like, you know, newspapers and stuff, and others like screen grabs that we've done. And unfortunately, I just had not done a screen grab of that in advance to check it out. I will be putting it up.
I was a little disappointed in us too, but hey, you know what? That's why we have you guys too. See, you can help us with those little details if we miss them.
So now it really hasn't been voiced on the show that she's the owner, but they didn't deal with that at all this episode either. And I figure they would at least mention that. And she retires. You saw Ray, like, you know, doing something on the computer and it says, you know, vice president retired or something like that. So can she actually retire and still be the owner? I guess she could. But she doesn't know she's the owner. So I don't know. I was a little...
Well, maybe that will come out when the fallout from all the event with Ray and his suit, maybe that will come out. That's something she's going to have to deal with when she... Here's what happens to Ray. I don't know.
Right, right. So Ray exploded, right? So, I mean, that was a... We're going to need a boatload of screen doors up here. And I'm assuming they are going to... Spoiler alert, folks, if you haven't seen the Legends of Tomorrow previews, Ray is not dead.
He's not.
What? I'm sorry. Well, maybe he's playing his twin brother... Jay.
No.
Oh, that would be awesome. That'd be awesome. Jay Palmer.
No. Wait. Okay. Keep going. Finish your thought there.
But I think that he may have to keep the fact that he's not dead a secret. So, of course, everybody on Arrow will assume that Ray is dead, at least for the time being. Nope, that's not going to work either because Oliver is talking to him in the scenes from Legends of Tomorrow. I have no idea, but I'm thinking that Felicity could give Oliver back the company at some point there. So
that's what I was thinking too, and that's how they could continue to work together. So, all right. So Ray did now. There was a flash of blue light before the explosion. Did you see that?
Just like in and like Return of the Jedi, when the Emperor's essence like shot up the shaft, and so he's not really dead either.
Just he like just that, yeah.
Shrunk.
Yeah, no. So we're thinking I'm thinking Ray shrunk first, right? So he's okay. He survived the explosion.
Actually not thinking he shrunk first. I still think it was a bad glitch, but since Legends of Tomorrow does deal with time travel and you've got Rip Hunter Time Master, I believe he may have zipped in at the last moment and rescued him via Time Sphere.
Okay, yeah, I suppose that's possible. I like
but,
shrinking
you know, timey-wimey.
But he was stuff, working on the shrinking technology as
he was working
the
on the shrinking
happened.
Technology. Right. So, no, I think there's ample opportunity for either of us to be completely wrong.
Well, we'll find out. See, there's something I can look forward to all summer.
That is pretty cool, and it'll have to be longer than all summer because it will be beginning of next year probably. Maybe the end of this year. It depends on how they end up. 13 episodes, that's kind of a big break to take between episodes of Arrow and The Flash and stuff like that. I'll be interested to see how they decide they want to play this out, this new show. But basically, we're going to have to wait probably that long to realize that Ray's okay. It seemed really weird for them to leave it at that point. But I guess that's the cliffhanger that won't be resolved on this show, but on the other show. I don't know.
Maybe. And I did also want to say, and I thought this was important. Again, these are these minute little details. But did you notice that the on the sign where it said Palmer, the P on Palmer started falling after the explosion, which to me again kind of gave an indication that it was going to go back to Oliver or somebody.
Just be Almer Technologies.
No. Yes.
I don't know. Well,
no.
Yeah. That's okay. Yeah, that's interesting. That's an interesting little.
It may mean nothing. It may have just been part of the explosion, but it seems significant. The blue light and the pee falling. It's like you're going to bathroom with a nightlight. I don't know.
Well, the other thing that I'm really interested to see is that I'm glad they continued with for this episode. So this is something else that I enjoyed was Diggle just being totally pissed off at Oliver. I mean, I'm surprised he even continued really to talk to him at the end of the episode because Diggle is really, really upset, not only for himself, but for putting his wife and his child at risk. I mean,
yeah,
horrible, horrible stuff. And so I'm really glad they kept that. But they kind of leave it as in a professional relationship sort of way. And Oliver's like, you know, you should conceal your identity too. And it's like, all right, so they're teasing that Diggle may become a superhero. There's a lot of chatter on the net about this. People would love to find out that John Diggle's middle name is Stewart, and him become Green Lantern. That is on the very small portion of the superhero that Diggle may become. One I think that might be a little more appropriate would be a character called the Guardian, which is kind of a Captain America analog. He carries a weird little shield and but he has a helmet and yellow and blue spandex.
I'm sure they'll change that.
Diggle can rock that. I'm sure it'd be fine. So it would be interesting to see him step up and get a little more time. I don't know that I want to see him in a mask necessarily. He's kind of he's like a spy or, you know, more appropriately an army, you know, based guy.
A soldier.
He's kind of like that Rick Flag character because he was working with the Suicide Squad. So,
yeah, I'm kind of with you. I it would feel strange for him to have a mask at this point, but
yeah. But the person that did get a mask this week, I was actually really excited for this. Thea finally showed up as Red Arrow. No, I'm sorry, you can't go by that name. You have to go by Speedy. I already told everybody to call you that. And I thought she looked really good in the outfit, and she's very cocksure of herself when Oliver's talking about, you know, how he didn't, you know, want anyone else to take up the crusade and stuff, especially her. And she's like, yep, I know. You know, she's like, but here I am. And
hey,
it's
I also didn't
want to
get a
arc.
Sword through my chest. So there you go.
Well, yeah, exactly.
It wasn't it? But I was
she's
surprisingly.
Had a great arc.
Yes. I was surprisingly okay with her. I really didn't think I was going to like that. And I liked the outfit. I liked how she wore it. I liked how she appeared. I liked it.
She was really sure of herself. I mean, she's very commanding. It's like, you know, stay down. And, you know, just a little interaction between her and Diggle. It's great. She finally told Malcolm off. Oliver told Malcolm off. It's like, okay, we're not best bros anymore. We got to go back to being enemies, which, okay, so, all right. I guess I'm okay with that. Sounds like they're really pushing for this Damian Dark character to be the next season's bad guy.
Yeah, that's kind of what it sounds like.
And I think Diggle said that sounds like an alias. I know that I think it was someone on our Facebook page suggested, or maybe they emailed into us, that they said, well, maybe it could be like Vandal Savage. I think we talked about this in one of our previous feedbacks. And, well, sounds like Vandal Savage is actually going to be showing up in Legends of Tomorrow. So I doubt that they would have Damian Dark be the same character, but maybe not. They could get this stuff teed up on Arrow and then pass it off to Legends of Tomorrow. So who knows? But
well, they've certainly done that before, so I wouldn't.
Yeah, I wouldn't put that past them. I'm just going back to Merlin, though. I'm not really sure that that's. I just feel there's too much melodrama with Malcolm being in charge of the League of Assassins. I mean, they'll just be so fabulous now with their
outfits.
Yeah,
I'm not sure he's going to play much into season four. He might show up, but.
Yeah, if they just had him and Nyssa having staring contests at each other and they plan each other's demise, but not really involve the rest of the characters, that might be kind of interesting. That, you know, I don't know. I like Nyssa. I'd like to see more of her. So, you know, there's always this possibility, I guess. Yeah, we'll have to see.
It's that's why it's always good to keep the bad guys around somewhere in some capacity, so.
Yeah. And as I mentioned also, we all of a sudden get this 2-3 minute scene where Laurel's accusing her dad of drinking again, and he actually apparently was. But then it's okay because he goes and, you know, is working with the police trying not to have, quote unquote, Felicity's guy. He obviously doesn't know it's Oliver. He doesn't know it's Roy because he thinks Roy's dead. So it's just some other – I don't know how he thinks that this guy in League of Assassins outfit fighting another League of Assassins guy is all of a sudden, you know, on Team Arrow.
You don't think he thinks it's Oliver?
I have no idea. That was a very just odd series of events with the scene about him drinking again and then him calling Felicity to say, hey, you better get down here and save your guy.
Until you said that, that hadn't even occurred to me that he wasn't thinking it was Oliver.
Oliver was proven not to be the Arrow. It was Roy. And then Roy got killed in jail. And this guy is not even wearing a green hood or anything. Why would he think any of those things? That is some of the things that they shouldn't take me out of the episode, but they do. And then my brain works logically on it. And I'm like, this is just kind of ridiculous. Why did we even have that drinking conversation? If it doesn't affect anything, are they teeing it up for season 4? I thought we already dealt with this, and it's fine if you want to deal with it again, but don't just bring it out of the blue, set it up in episode 1 of season 4 that he's had a relapse, and then deal with it properly as a character sequence and not as just this thing to have two characters to come back to talk to each other about for 2 minutes before you continue on with the rest of the show and never get back to it.
Yeah, I kind of felt similar things with his heart attack last year because he had a heart attack on the last episode, on the finale. And well, when season 3, episode 1 rolled back around, I mean, they talked about it every once in a while, but it didn't seem to really be.
He was captain now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. Well, I still really like Captain Lance, so we'll kind of see where it goes. I'm sure that will play into season 4. And I'm glad it does. I'm glad they didn't just brush that under the table because that's a serious thing. So,
I felt that was really serious, and for them just to kind of treat it so lightly, I guess, when it had been a major point of season 2. Between the addiction between. Sure. That Laurel and Quentin faced and stuff like that. So, I don't know. We'll have to see where this goes. I'm interested to see what they do with season 4. It's not like I'm not going to tune back in. This is not my favorite season finale of this season or of the series. I think season 2 really was an awesome end of the season as far as season finales go. And as back half of the season. So they've got some work to do in my eyes to kind of get that mantle back up.
For me, I thought it was a really powerful episode, a lot of really good fight scenes. There were some things I really liked the way it developed into and how he ended up saving things. I wasn't real thrilled with where the characters were going, but I'm definitely willing to wait and see where they take them for season 4 and what this is all setting up and getting ready for. But I do think it, like you said, it's kind of just continues to lead him to become the hero that we kind of know and love, which is so far not quite there, and it'll be Green Arrow. Instead of just Arrow or the Hood or, you know, the Vigilante, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Not my favorite finale, probably my least favorite finale of the series. There's only been 3 though. So, you know, third place is still pretty good. Lot of great things in it. I do have one thing to say, as far as the ending goes, and you know, he's driving off into the sunset with Felicity, but isn't he married?
Well, they were talking about going someplace that could annul. It's a League of Assassins marriage. I don't think it's legal. I mean, it's like the difference between, you know, having a wedding and getting married, right? You know, there's a legal ceremony and a religious ceremony. And I think this was really just like a religious ceremony, but who knows?
All
maybe. Right. Maybe that's going to tie into it in some fashion. But she was talking about finding a state that could have
maybe
that,
maybe so. Nyssa will move in with Felicity and Oliver, and it'll be kind of like a Three's Company kind of thing next season. You think?
And Merlin's
and Damien Dark is their landlord, you know, and they have to pretend like Oliver's gay and not really. Yeah. Okay. All right. So, no, I think I see where it's going.
I like this. Yeah.
There it is. That's good.
I will say the other thing that probably really colored my viewing of this episode was that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had its 2-hour season finale the night before. It had some very emotional sequences in it that I really felt something for. And when I watched Arrow, I just didn't really feel anything for, like, I felt everybody was going through the motions, but I didn't really feel that emotional connection that I do sometimes to episodes. I think, like I had said a couple weeks ago, when Maseo and Tatsu had their scenes together, or when she killed him, you know, that was very emotional, and I felt something with that. Whereas this episode, I just really didn't feel anything for any of the scenes. So
yeah,
who knows? But anyway, that is I think it was the appropriate ending for the season, and you know, neither good nor bad there. It's just kind of as a state of fact. And, you know, I'm sure some people liked it more than we did. And I'm sure some people liked it less than we did. So, we did get a number of pieces of feedback. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
I was gonna say, let us know, you know, give us some feedback, 'cause we got some this week.
Yeah. So we got one here from Joanne from Twitter. And, Josh, why don't you go ahead and take this one here?
Well, you were mentioning how the promo last week showed that they hadn't actually died, which, you know, we didn't really think they would, but you show it a promo after you kill them all off, right? Seconds after you kill them all off. So Joanne mentions that, you know, the promo didn't spoil anything major. They weren't bleeding from the mouth, so they weren't dying, just passing out, which was true, because they showed Akio bleeding from the mouth, you know, when he had the virus.
That is true.
Now, and none of them knew that bleeding from the mouth was a symptom, you know, except for Tatsu, of course. So they really believed they were dying. But now we found out that she goes on to say, you know, Roz believed they had no hope of survival, so he didn't hang around to watch them die, so he didn't see them not bleeding. And then at the end here, she says Malcolm antagonized Roz into, quote-unquote, poisoning them, knowing that the vial would be used on them would have been switched by Oliver. Now we found out that actually wasn't the case. It's just that Malcolm had inoculated them. We didn't know that last week, but
cutaneous inoculation.
Which is, you know, why can't I get a flu shot like that? Just go to the doctor's office, shake his hand. He's going, no, you're good.
I'm not sure that is a thing. Especially,
come on, science. Whatever. Let's get to work on that. It should be.
All right. Well, I had posted on Facebook just to get some discussion going because we heard there was going to be a death on this week's episode that would really take. So Ray Palmer, obviously, right? And I said, so who do you guys think it's going to be? You know, we had some people say it's Ra's al Ghul, and I'm like, well, you know, he's kind of immortal-ish. Maybe that might not be it. Obviously, I was stone cold wrong on that. But Sean did chime in to let everybody know that maybe it's Jay's suspension of disbelief that dies on this episode. So he gets a point. He gets a point for bringing that up. I thought that was good. Well, and then Jonathan on Facebook, we had a number of people on Facebook talking about this episode. He said, by the way, I just want to let you guys know, Lance's heart attack has had more lasting effects than any of the other characters who were poisoned, run through with swords, shot with arrows, shot with guns, kicked off a mountain, ...
Yeah, it's true. He's been taking medication all season for it, hasn't he?
That, and everybody's been concerned about his health. I mean, that really sums up this season, I think, if you could say something. That one of our main characters' heart attack is more serious than the lead character getting shot, stabbed, kicked off a mountain. You know, it's just an interesting realization, I guess. So thank you for pointing that out, Jonathan. And then I also, there's not one specific post from this gentleman, but a big shout out to our Facebook friend, Rob. He's been posting photos probably, I think, back from season 2, where he's been building a Deathstroke costume and shows us the different pictures, or always has a fun little image to share with us with like the little meme text or something on it. So thank you very much for doing that. We enjoy seeing that sort of stuff on the page, and I know other people do too, because they're liking it as well. All right, number of references, comic related and other, in this week's episode. So this was really interesting. You put this one down here about him potentially dying on that airplane at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah, he was going to sacrifice himself to save Starling City from this bioweapon. Well, in the comics, yeah. Oliver Queen actually does die in the comics. And he dies in – it was actually a helicopter instead of a plane, I think.
No, it was a plane.
Oh, was it a plane? Okay. I was thinking it was a helicopter. But Superman is there. He sees, Green Arrow. He's getting ready to stop this – I think it was even another bioweapon.
It was a bioweapon that was set to explode, right? And Oliver was trying to disarm the explosive or something mm-hmm. along those lines.
And instead he blew up midair, which meant it didn't disperse where it was supposed to, so save the people. And I think he was saving Metropolis, I think, in the comic. But that's how Oliver Queen actually died in the Green Arrow comics.
Green Arrow number 101, I believe, of series whatever, 2, 3, maybe they were at. And then his son took over, I believe. Connor Hawk took over as Green Arrow after that point. They had mention of Adams and O'Neill Street again after Neil Adams and Danny O'Neill. That seems to be the main crossroads, like the downtown streets, the very, very big streets. Then there was also 52 and Robson that was noted. Obviously, 52, after the DC 52, which after this summer may not be a thing anymore. They've got a convergence storyline going on that may change a bunch of stuff about the new 52. And then Robson may or may not be a shout-out to DC penciler Robson Rocha. So he hasn't done any Green Arrow books that I could find, but possible. Captain Lance was very upset about something he was saying called the Andraco case. Presumably, that is named after Mark Andraco, whose character Manhunter bears a striking resemblance to the DA by day, vigilante by night thing that Laurel is doing. The name of the boat that might bring Oliver Queen to Coast City, was stationed out of Coast City, is called Triton's Daughter. Triton being another one of the Greek gods and has ties to Wonder Woman. He's the son of Poseidon and sometimes the adversary to Aquaman. Lance makes a joke. He says, oh, city's under attack. It must be May, right? That's our joke, Quentin. I would appreciate it if you did not use that.
Well, he can use it. He just needs to give us credit for it.
Oh, I gotcha. I believe I mentioned that last week, too.
Yeah. So right after he says it, he just needs to send a squad car to the corner of Jay and Josh or something like that.
Oliver in the flashbacks, I believe, says for the very first time he failed the city in reference to Shreve. I don't think he had said that previously.
In a flashback?
In the flashbacks.
Like timeline-wise,
that would have been the first for that. The virus is being transported in four vessels, very much like the four horsemen of the apocalypse. The story from the Bible of the end of days. This was a good one. Raish tells Oliver that he set his plan in motion 10 minutes ago, even though it still gave them ample time to stop the virus. But I thought this was an interesting nod to the Watchmen, where when the bad guy in that starts talking about his plan, they're like, oh, well, I'll just stop. And he's like, are you kidding? I set this in motion like 35 minutes ago. So, all this time we've been talking, my plan's been being carried out. So the Starling City Dam appears to be the same location they used in a Flash episode this season with Hartley Rathaway, which was the Sound and the Fury. I'm not sure if it's meant to be the same meant to be the same location. But they looked like they were filmed at the same place, just based on what I recall from that episode. And then this season finale had something very similar as far as Conundrum to S.H.I.E.L.D. and its season finale. There were characters that were talking about being presented with the one life versus many quandary, very much like from Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan,
needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
Or the one, yes. So, and that was what Oliver was talking about here. So But, you know, so there we go. That's the end of season three of Arrow, and also the end of season three for Green Justice. So we hope you guys had as much fun at least listening to our podcast and the discussion that we do. And if the feedback that we get is any indication, it is. So depending on what's going on with the show, the TV show, you guys always seem to get a kick out of us, and you've been telling other people about us, so I appreciate that. And we will definitely return next season for another season of Green Justice, and look for some summer specials off and on here through the summer hiatus month. So we'll come up with some interesting topics, and if you guys have any ideas of anything that you'd like to hear Josh or I talk about, you can email those in to us.
Yeah, we would love to hear from you guys and hear what you want to hear us talk about or what you would like to share with us. And hey, you know what? If you liked this episode or any episode of Green Justice, can you pop over on iTunes there and leave us a review, put some feedback. We love it when people write stuff on the iTunes feedback. That would be great. And if you want to send us an email, like I said, anything you want to hear us talk about over the summer break, our email is greenjustice@randomchatter.com. Or you can just, have fun with us over on Twitter. Again, you know, telling me why I'm wrong and making fun of things that we miss, things like that. That's at Green Justice Pod, or you can go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Green Justice Podcast.
And you can also check out all the back episodes of Green Justice or any of the other shows that Josh and I podcast about, including two seasons of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. We also did a season of Agent Carter Case Files, which we'll be doing again this coming winter hiatus because that has been picked up. And we've also been doing our first season of Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. You can find all of those right here at randomchatter.com. or through iTunes, or through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And of course, if you're enjoying the podcast, please be sure to tell your friends about us, talk to your comic shop owner about us, just speak loudly about this great podcast anytime you're in a place where there might be other geeks and nerds that love watching and listening to podcasts about TV shows that deal with superheroes and comic books. And if you don't keep listening, you have failed this city.
This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for Arrow can be found at www.cwtv.com. Green Arrow, Arrow, and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.